who have genuine fear at this moment? Are they seeing a difference in me? Are they seeing a difference in our community as we have this eternal assurance of Christ? When people can be pessimistic, my workplace is very pessimistic. Am I being optimistic? When those people who are full of worry, am I able to be full of hope and point them in the reason why I'm full of hope? And in that way, having joy in the way that I talk, in the way that I act, and the way that I behave. And I think whenever I was talking about joy, often whenever you listen to people talking about joy, there's a very important distinction that you have to outline, and that is one between the happiness and one between joy in itself. Happiness versus joy. And happiness, in order just to mention this very quickly, because I said this morning it's more of a thought than anything else that I'm bringing to you. Happiness refers to, it's a mood. But the mood is dependent upon maybe short-term circumstances that you've experienced. Like, you know, when things are going well for you, when you've had your favourite cereal, whenever you've woke up the right side of bed, whenever something's, just happened to be going your way, that you're in a good mood, that you're suddenly happy. But the problem is when things aren't going your way, that means that you can suddenly become unhappy. It's true, if you ask someone walking through with a big grin on their face and you ask them, what is it that you're smiling about? What is it that you're happy about? What they'll actually tell you is something that has happened very recent to them. Oh, my football team won, or I've got myself a new job, or I'm able to buy something, or, you know, maybe it's a pregnancy or so forth. But there's something that's happened recently which has brought happiness to them, and that's the example they'll use to you when you ask them what they're happy about. That's about a recent experience, but the problem is things don't always go our way. Things go wrong, and sometimes they go seriously wrong. You only have to look at the news today about the job losses that people are struggling with. Plans aren't working out. There are news that people are being told from the doctor and operations that have been planned that they're not able to have anymore, and things are happening to people all around the world that is causing them grief and it's causing them sadness. And I've often struggled throughout the years whenever you read passages from the Bible, whenever it talks about people who are in the midst of sorrow, and yet in the midst of that they're able to have joy. I've often been confused about that. How is it these people are going through such difficult times, how they are weeping, they're going through grieving, and yet at the same time they're talking about joy? And I wonder whether I've struggled to understand that because I've given myself over to the world's understanding of happiness, that I live in quite a superficial world where there's one of instant gratification, that's what we're striving for. That's what we think is the source of joy or happiness. And therefore, we want that instant gratification of the things that the world can give us. And so, therefore, I've confused the biblical sense of joy and the worldly sense of happiness. And I can't really distinguish between the two of them, especially when things don't go my way. I was thinking about Job. He's the perfect example. Someone mentioned it to me this morning. There's a guy who had a big family, the richest man, and suddenly his children were wiped from the face of the planet. His possessions were taken away from him. In his grief, in his tears, in his mourning, how was he able to utter the words, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? That's amazing. I was talking to someone this morning about a particular person who received some bad news. Their wife received some bad news. They were diagnosed with cancer. And just there last week, they received that the cancer's getting worse. It's on other parts of her body. And they're worried. They're really worried. And whenever this husband was sharing the news, he said, "But God is good." I mean, guys, that's the world doesn't understand this. I struggle to understand this. And that's why we need to look at what a biblical sense of joy is. Not a superficial, skin-deep happiness. I think many of us have confused joy, biblical joy, eternal joy, that eternal hope that we talked about last week, with a temporary feeling of happiness, which, as I said, which is skin-deep. It can easily come and it can easily go. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. It says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10 says, "We're sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." I mean, just stop just thinking about that. We're sorrowful, but we're full of rejoicing. We're poor, and yet making many rich. Again, that's referring back to the hope that we heard last week. We're having nothing and yet possessing everything. Do you see the biblical sense of joy? When Job's able to say that, that's not just the superficial, skin-deep happiness that the world tells you in order to strive over. This is something deeper. This is something eternal. This is something that dwells within you permanently. As I said to you a number of weeks ago, one of the ambitions that I had this week was to start reading a book. Karen and I are reading a book with Timothy, the C.S. Lewis fictional book of the Screwtape Letters. And it's basically about, you've got a senior demon talking to a junior demon, and they're writing these letters to each other in order how to keep the subject, which is us, away from the enemy, which is Jesus. It's a fictional story, but it's really insightful, okay? And the junior demon keeps on writing to the senior demon for advice on how to go about doing this. And one of the things that keeps coming out within these letters is the way that the techniques that the devils can use is simply by distracting us. Distracting us from the truth, distracting us from what's real, and suddenly getting us to focus on simply what's in front of us all the time, and therefore keeping us away from Jesus and himself. And I think Satan is able to distract us from the real joy that is offered to us, and he distracts us with the worldly version of happiness. I was thinking about an example of it. It's like a shining reflection light that you put onto the floor, and it's a cat that just, wherever the light goes, the cat looks and he tries to chase it. And all Satan needs to do is go, yeah, you want happiness? Well, there you go, you need a better job. Yep, I need a better job. Suddenly, you want to think about a better relationship? Yep, need a better relationship. Need more money. I need a better car. And these are the things that you go from one to the other to the next, and you're never quite satisfied. And that's all Satan needs to do, is just to put a shining light on the things that are in front of us and say, there you go, this will bring you happiness. This will bring you joy. As we fleet from one thing to the next. Happiness to me is an iPhone. It's great when you get a new iPhone, but it gets old, gets outdated, and suddenly you want a new one. It doesn't last. But joy is deep-rooted inner delight, rooted into the eternal hope. I'm not going to go over what Ronnie said last week, because if you want to hear about it, listen to it. I can't say it any better than he has. So, rooted in the eternal hope, which never grows old and never fades. People, joy doesn't depend upon external circumstances, which is why I think it's amazing when you listen to the testimonies, particularly those from persecuted Christians. If you go to the events such as the Open Doors, or you read about the persecuted Christians, you can realize what real joy is. These people, in the midst of being beaten, in the midst of starvation, in the midst of being outcast from their family and from their community, they stand there and they say, they give God praise and thanksgiving for the hope and the certainty that he has given them. I want that joy. I want that level of satisfaction, where I'm not so superficial like a cat jumping from one light to the next on whatever Satan decides to shine it upon. Guys, especially maybe at this time here, we weren't designed to worry. We weren't designed to be anxious. We weren't designed to be fearful or be deflated. In fact, I could point you to many verses, which I'm not going to now, but with regards to saying, God says, it's pointless worry. There's no point in you worrying at all. It's not going to change anything about tomorrow. He orders us not to worry and be anxious. In the year 2020 and even the year 2021, we weren't designed just to simply survive. We weren't designed to simply just try and exist and ride it out. We were designed in order to thrive and be full of joy. You've been designed to experience joy. Look at John verse 10, verse 10. Nathan said this in the prayer room this morning. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, just like the way Satan wants to steal your joy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full and have it abundantly, as some versions say. And the only way we can have life abundantly and to the full, the only way that we can walk around with our heads held high with regards to just being confident with the hope that's given us, the only way that we can have joy is by knowing the very person who created us, knowing the reason why we've been created. The only way you can have joy is by knowing God. And only by knowing God will you ever have life to the full. My question here is, are you simply existing this morning? Or are you actually living abundantly? Because the difference is, do you know about God when you're existing? I know of him. I know something about him or who he is. Or do you live your life to the full where you actually know him for yourself? Because if you have no joy this morning and you're struggling this morning, the only way that you're ever going to come into the presence of your Creator is through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is the provider of joy. God is the ultimate provider. I think it's also possible for a Christian to be a Christian for many, many years. And suddenly this morning you go, yeah, I know you hear it. You're talking about the word joy. I know it's there, but do you know what? Over the last number of years, it's been dwindling, and I don't feel that way at the moment, Steve. How do I, you know, that's just something that's foreign to me. I think I was maybe happy or full of joy once, but it's not the way it is anymore. And I think the reason why we can move away from the concept of joy is because we can forget about God's mercy and grace. We can forget about his character. We can forget about what he has actually achieved. We can forget about the sin and how much it disgusted him and how the cost of actually Jesus dying on the cross. And whenever we move away from this, then we forget about our joy. Over time, even those with, let's call them experienced Christians, they can get distracted with shiny things again. They can start setting the gospel aside, where they start to pursue that instant source of happiness. I call it like instant coffee. It's not the real thing. Instant coffee, you might as well put dirt in your cup, as far as I'm concerned. Get the real thing. Don't substitute it. I think a lot of us here, we can start focusing on the things that are just seen rather than the things that are unseen. We look and concentrate and we pursue the things that are eternal rather that are short term rather than the things that are eternal. And then by that way, we lose the sense of joy. We move away from spending time with God as we suddenly start to concentrating upon ourselves. And I just wonder whether many of us have done this at the moment. Maybe some of us are anxious. Maybe some of us are worried, because we're concentrating upon ourselves more than placing our eyes upon Jesus and the eternal hope that we have, which will bring us back to being full of joy. As a community of believers, we should have very different lives. Our conversations, I believe, should be very different to the ones that we're hearing around us. Our own presence, you know, the way that we act and the way that we behave, we should actually be representing, we should be able to portray the gospel in order that we have this confidence which leads us to joy. And people say, why is it you're acting this way? Why are you not anxious? Why are you not fearful? And you say, let me tell you about my hope. Let me tell you about the eternal hope. Let me tell you about God himself. I mean, God actually commands his people, he commands us to pursue maximum joy. He wants us to pursue this maximum joy 24/7 with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our mind. He actually orders us to. And I love the fact, it's actually John Piper. I remember him using the word maximum pleasure and not just the word pleasure. And that stayed with me because, you know, it's maximum pleasure. Because listen, you see the things that I talked about that Satan shines the lights on, that we can get distracted and move away from God and the gospel, and we suddenly think we're chasing things that will make us happy. They will make you happy. I don't like it when people stand up and they do not give you anything. They do. They will. You'll enjoy getting the new things. You'll enjoy certain relationships. You'll enjoy doing whatever you want to do, but only for a while. That's the thing. You see, these things that will give you pleasure, they won't give you maximum pleasure. And that's why I believe it's so easy for the devil to distract us from this joy, from the biblical sense of joy. It's easy for him. And we can fall into that trap. He's going to be able to prevent you from having your cup, which overflows from joy. And it's that we want to get to today. I don't want to be blown around in the wind anymore. Where my joy and my eternal hope is somehow circumstantial. And am I going to be content today and satisfied today and then suddenly not tomorrow? I don't want that anymore, because God offers me permanent, eternal joy. Maximum pleasure can be found only in God. Joy can only be found in God. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice." Psalm 90 verse 14 says, "Satisfy us in the morning." That word satisfy has taken on a new meaning for me this week. What is it to be really satisfied? "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast," that's your permanent love, "that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Not just when I get out of the bed on the right side, or not just when I don't run out of milk, I'm just glad then. No, it says all of our days. And we're glad because of who he is and who he will be tomorrow and who he's going to be next year and what he has achieved for us, the eternal promises that he gives us. I want to be glad all of my days and rejoicing in all circumstances. Do you know how we're able to keep rejoicing and have joy in the midst of changing times? It's because our hope is unchanging and eternal. And how do I do this? Well, I do it by pursuing God. I do it by following the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Do you understand? God gave us the first commandment that you and I might pursue joy. Now, the difference of being able to possess this joy today or whether you're not is actually a matter of who you're going to focus upon. And I'm going to finish this morning by showing you a 6-minute video of someone who can say this far better than I ever can. I found this video and it stayed with me, and I probably was going to show this video no matter what I was speaking on, is the truth, but it fits in well with regards to how we can pursue joy. So we're going to share this video now, and then after which Shane and Sonia are going to come up in order for us to worship.